the first Bible reading, 1 Kings 8, 27 to 30. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry, the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open towards this temple night and day. This place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. The next reading, again from 1 Kings 8, 54 to 61. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I pray before the Lord, be near to the Lord, our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. And the final reading from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. These are the words of the Lord.
Yeah, I almost forgot how good a little drum sounds in this church. I mean, I didn't really, because I knew how wonderful it sounds in this church. I knew what they were doing with the acoustics when they built this place. It has such wonderful... does have such a wonderful volume of sound. Well, today, we're taking a little break from our main series to celebrate being able to worship again in this church building. And so as we are gathering together for this worship service, we are thankful that we are able to worship in this building for the first time in over 2 years. And we owe a big thank you to the Working Bee team who did such a wonderful clean-up of everything. If I was to ask you, what is the difference between a house and a home, and I am asking you, what would you say? What is the difference between a house and a home?
Family.
Very good. What else might you say? Love. Belonging?
Belonging.
because you are, because you love so much. Yep, so place of belonging, love and acceptance. Yep. Sorry.
Home is where the heart is.
Home is where the heart is. Very good.
Place of rest.
Yep.
Togetherness.
Great words.
Yes. So the physical doesn't necessarily mean as much as the place it represents in the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, right, so a house is just a building designed for people to live in. But a home is a house where a family dwells, which feels comfortable, familiar, welcoming, belonging, a place where you can feel valued. It serves as a base to go out from and return to. It's a place which belongs to a family. And they can fashion it as they wish, and in ways which best serve them, so long as it doesn't negatively impact the neighbours too much. So a home is a house with a deep emotional and relational connection, like you said, where the heart is. Now, although it always feels like home wherever I live, the place where our family lived since Mum and Dad got married and where our children lived our whole lives as we grew up will always be my home in my heart, first and foremost. And the suburb of Corinda will always feel like home to a place of familiarity, probably like Ingham to many of you or one of the other little towns around. And there is something special about places which become the locus of family. For the nation of Israel, that place would become the temple. God was at the center of Israel's identity, where a nation which came into being by God's miraculous intervention in the life of the married couple of Abraham and Sarah. Without God working this miracle, the nation would never have existed. As Israel continued to exist, God continued to place himself as the central focus, or what we might say, as I said before, the locus of who they were. He was always to be considered Israel's true king. And the temple was set apart and devoted to being the special place where the people of God could come and meet and connect with their God. As we read in 1 Kings 8, verse 27, Solomon knows that God will not actually live fully in this temple. He won't be contained by this temple, because how could a building built with human hands contain the God of creation in all his fullness and majesty? However, this is the place where God has proclaimed, "My name shall be there." So long as Israel walks faithfully with their God and put him first above all other pursuits, God has promised that the temple will be a place where all people can come and have God hear their prayer. And as Solomon proclaims, this isn't limited to Israelites. All who come to Israel and pray to the God of Israel will be heard. Or even if they just face towards Jerusalem when they pray. And so the temple is to become the spiritual home of Israel. It is to be that place where all people can come to be in the presence of God, to feel welcome, to feel, well, at home. This is why Jesus was so angry in the temple when it was being used as a marketplace rather than being a house of prayer. And in Jesus' response, we see that there is something important about the idea of having a place where people can go, especially to worship God. Jesus knows that it can be important for people to have a place where they can feel close to God, a special place set aside for worship. Not too long ago, and in fact, still in your living memory, or at least some of your living memory, there was a generation that we now call the Builders. And they built churches all across this nation. This building was built at that time. They built churches because they believed that it was important to have places of worship set aside for the specific purpose of worship. A place where anyone could come. A place where everyone felt welcome. Because it didn't belong to any one member, but to the community of believers. There are many benefits for a church community to have their own church building to meet in. Now, there are also some downsides, which we will get to shortly, and we're going to be sticking to purely theological downsides. We're not really going to be concerning ourselves with things like rates and maintenance and those sorts of practical things. And I know that many of you have missed meeting in this building because it feels like home, like a spiritual home. All those things that you spoke about, what home means. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with having a place which brings with it a sense of spiritual comfort, of rest. The problem comes when we're not willing to leave that place of comfort. Or when we associate the feelings of spiritual comfort as the locus of our spiritual connection to God. As with anything which can be an aid to worship, there is always the potential for the aid to become an idol. Or something that we believe is needed for worship. Where we develop a reliance on coming into the church building to worship God or to feel His presence. You know, in the Old Covenant there was something to this in regards to the temple. Because the temple in Israel was where the name of God dwelt. A place where He will especially hear people's prayers. Or if they face toward the temple, directing their prayers to God, He would especially hear their prayers. In Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well, we see that in Jesus' understanding, the temple in Jerusalem had been the proper place for the locus of Israel's worshipping life. However, by the time we get to Jesus living on the earth, it doesn't really matter anymore. Because the time for that was coming to an end. And soon was to begin the time when the locus of worship was to be in the Holy Spirit and in truth. And so as we come into the new covenant, the people of God is where the name of God dwells. And by name of God, I mean the presence of God. God's people became the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. You are sacred ground to God, not some church building, like in popular culture. You are sacred ground. And the only reason why church buildings are special is because they are the place where the people of God meet. The people who are the true temple of God, when they come together to meet and worship. God is only present in this building because we are present in this building. And the only reason why this building has any special significance to the general community is because this is the place where the people of this Christian community have met together in the past and will continue to meet together today to worship God. One of the things, though, about church buildings is that despite ideally being places where people can come and feel close to God to aid them in their worshipping and praying to God, they can also be places of intimidation, a place where people feel that they are not welcome because they're not part of the congregation or have been hurt by the church in the past. Or they know all too well they don't measure up to God's moral standard. For these reasons, church buildings today are limited in their ability to draw people into a relationship with God. And so we shouldn't think that they will. Might happen on rare occasions, but that's pretty much about it. Instead, we should be taking the true church into the community. It does kind of weave back into our series on being an evangelism congregation. So we ourselves are the temple and the church of God. This building is not. And as Paul writes in Ephesians, the work of God is doing in establishing his place of worship is in making us into a holy temple in the Lord, as members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus as the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. We are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. In this, it is our love for one another and our welcoming of everyone, and our hospitality towards anyone, which is most important. We are being built into greater and greater unity and love, so that when someone walks into our midst, no matter where they encounter us, they are blown away by the warmth and friendship and close family atmosphere they feel. We should be the primary place which feels like a spiritual home wherever we meet. But since we as human beings associate our memories of people and experiences with the places which they occur, this building should also feel like home. But there is always a danger that in our minds, this building is the locus of our worshipping life. It might be the primary location of our worshipping life together, but it is not the locus of our worshipping life together. We ourselves, together with the Holy Spirit within us, is the locus of our communal worship. We have to be able to divorce our spiritual Christian lives from this place. If we can't, then we have made the building an idol. It's important for us that as we return to worshipping in this building, that we aren't doing so because we feel it is necessary to be in here in order to feel as if we are worshipping God, but because whatever it is about this building, it just feels like home and it's nice. Do you get the subtle difference between the church building being an idol and being a home? One is about feeling like it's not full worship of God when done somewhere else. That's the idol. And the other is that when we worship God anywhere else, it's just as meaningful and significant. However, being in here just makes you take a deep breath and relax, like coming home does. That's the home. We should never feel like we have to be in the church building, in a church building, in order to really worship God, but rather just because it's nice to worship God here. So special places set aside for God's people to worship God are good things. They can aid in our worship of God. We never have to wonder if it's available for our use and ask someone else to use it. It's ours. We don't have to feel as if we're stepping on anyone's toes in personal space to come and worship and pray, because it belongs equally to each member of the congregation, whether you're new or have been here for almost 100 years. It's our place of worship. We can decorate it as we want to celebrate the different Christian seasons and events and series we do. And of course, we can use it to worship God in all manner of ways. It's a space which has no other purpose. And so it's always available as a place to come and sit and be with God. This building does not house God's presence in some special way, however, like the temple did. It's just a building. And the only thing that makes it special is that God's people use it to gather together. And God's presence is only present because we are present. So we have to make sure that we don't turn this building or any church building into an idol where it becomes central to our worshipping life rather than Jesus and worshipping him in spirit and in truth. This is merely the location, not the locus of the church. But in saying that, it sure is nice to be back in here, isn't it? Amen.